sexy, spooky bones.
And welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
John.
Oh shit. Hey John.
That's right. My name is Johnny. How are you guys doing down there in Radio Land?
We just clearing your throat after the shot you
podcast
took.
First. Exactly, the second shot I took, which was too big, and just fucked my sinuses up immediately, because...
Yeah. And welcome to the show. This week, we are reviewing Cure. As Owen Jean will give us the plot in 5 words, we'll give our first thoughts, then we go to the spoiler analysis. But first, back to TV Corner. We're watching John Carpenter's Suburban Screams, Episode 1. Season 1, Episode 4, titled Bunny Man.
And it's for Easter. Just kidding, it's not, because... It's not.
It's, it could.
We could be recording it on Easter, which I'm sure neither of us remembered.
yeah, sort of.
I was under the impression, I was like, oh, Easter falls on April Fool's, but no, it doesn't. I'm going to not show up to work tomorrow to see if they get the joke.
Yeah.
Because I'm very festive.
Yeah, it's the most important holiday.
Also, just bringing it up to our listeners, if you want Rolly and I to get drunk at the Alamo Draft House downtown and attempt to record a podcast, let us know in the comments below. Thank you.
What's going on? Why? Oh, Alamo Draft House.
Yeah,
we could
do that. They got that cool bar. Very 80s themed bar.
Is that the one with the video store? They have a video store too, right?
Yes. Like, really? So once you walk in, you know how like it's the elevators going up to the theaters? I mean the escalator, sorry.
Right.
If you just walk further in, you see the video rental store area. If you make a sharp left, it goes deeper in and there's a bar, like a full bar.
Mm.
And some video games and stuff.
That's pretty cool. Have to go because it's for sale. Did you read that? Alamo Draft House is for sale.
Uh-oh. That's not good.
All of them. They're off for sale. Well.
You know.
So movie theaters.
I was going to say we can get drunk and then go to Uniqlo to buy underwear and pants.
Yeah. But then I could just stay home and order them on Temu. So it's fine.
No, sponsor is Temu. Just kidding.
I'm not saying that's all I did Saturday night, but, but.
Man, I got so close to being like, yep, let's purchase this stuff. And then I was like, it's a fucking scam. I know I see people buy shit all the time, but no, there's something off about this site, so I just didn't do it.
It is a little suspicious. Hence the drinking. You get the liquid courage to purchase.
It's the same thing with like fucking wish.com. Why I never bought anything off Wish. I'm like, hey, you know what? No.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to legitimate websites like ebay.com.
Well, that's why I bought your Christmas present.
Oh, which one?
The record. One of the records.
Oh, yeah.
One of the songs goes... goes like that. Yeah, you know the one. That's it.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, I think the last purchase I made on eBay was a deck of trading cards by Marvel back in 1994. And I remember I was collecting the shit out of these cards and I was super proud of them. And, you know, not saying it's going to be any better anywhere else, but we grew up in South Texas where people would just take whatever the fuck they wanted. And some kid, you know, snuck into my little cubby and stole all my shit because he wanted the cards for himself. Which I was really pissed off for a very long time, but in retrospect, maybe he couldn't afford cards or whatever, and he just wanted them. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm sure you're in jail now, so enjoy that one piece of glory.
You're in jail. Right. Is that your bully?
No. I maybe had like a few bullies, and then
you became the bully.
They became like kind of friends or whatever. No, they became kind of friends, and then I just never talked to them again.
What about
some of the other guys that? Well, this is like sad, but I was gonna say some of the other people that
you gotta say it now.
Very bullyish. I'm like, I wonder where they're at now, and they are no longer on Earth. I'm like, okay, well,
yep,
here we go. That's kind of what happens. They probably had a tortured past, and here I am, sad because I'm emo. I'm just kidding.
an uncancelled emo.
And that's our review of John Carpenter's Suburban Commando, starring Hulk Hogan.
Screamer.
Starring Hulk Hogan.
Starring Hulk Hogan. As the Hulk
Suburban
Hogan.
Commando.
Yeah,
Is that the one? Is that the one where he's like, he picks up some dude and he's like, what's that smell? And the actor's like, Dookie. He's like, Dookie? Ugh. And he like throws him.
That was No Holds Bar.
No Holds Bar.
Yeah.
Which is the one where he's like an alien.
Suburban Commando?
Is that Suburban Commando? Why do they got such stupid titles?
I don't know.
Where's the one where he's like basically in a tutu the whole time?
The Nanny. Was it The Nanny?
The Nanny? It's like a terrible rip of Mr. Mom, right? Or something?
I think it's called Mr. Nanny?
Mr. Nanny?
Mr. This is not getting less clear.
I mean, yeah, it's also starting to sound very like we're gonna find out the title is actually super not gay, straight, hot guy is called Mr. Nanny.
Mr. Nanny. Yeah, it's called Mr. Nanny. Yep. Gotta keep waiting for some kind of retrospective at the Los Feliz 3.
I mean, Tarantino owns the vintage now, so we could be holding out for that too.
Go watch Mr. Nanny, Three Ninjas.
Three Ninjas Kick Back.
Three Ninjas Suburban Commando. No Holds Bar. And then all the cameos like Gremlins 2 and Rocky 3.
Oh man, last night I went to a party for friends of my partner and I. Their cat turned 3 years old, so they threw the cat a birthday party and I bought the cat some presents. Don't tell Annie, please.
So I'm about to turn the podcast off because...
Well, I mean, because they're good parents. I know this one cat dad who never throws a birthday for his daughter, Annie, so...
I do. I have it saved on my thing.
You're like, oh, shit, it's your birthday, Annie. Hey, Annie, happy birthday. And Annie's like,
I just don't
I'm just trying to take a shit here, dude.
I usually just buy her a little pate, and I have a appropriate-sized cat... birthday, what are those called? Birthday hats.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And then you do a little, you bought a little torch, right? So you can flambe the top of the pate.
Pretty much. It's like the Perrier commercials. I ding the glass and she comes running over.
she's wearing a like a wig thing, so her hair looks like longer and whiter and fluffier. Like, oh. once a year she gets that. Well, yeah, we had this birthday, and the cat's father, right? Not biological, by the way. I had to ask. The cat's father. I wish I had made that joke last night. That probably would have killed. Are you the biological parents? was talking about, like, yeah, you know, I throw this, like, movie club and blah, blah, blah. And there's this movie called Runaway. Because we're talking about Gene Simmons, that I had randomly seen him at the office. And he was like, oh, this movie called Runaway that Gene Simmons in. And I'm like, wait, don't know Tom Selleck? Right? There's like spider robots that are basically blocks that are spiders. And it's like one of those things where it's like, oh, you've seen it? I was like, oh my God, you should meet my friends. Yes. We've all seen these movies. I was like, I think you're going to know Videodrome. Let's talk about Videodrome real quick.
It's true. He tried to pass that off as like his little special fight. Like, look how clever I am
at running
at movies.
Got me into. I was like, there's another movie that came out around the same time called, but this might have been a '90s movie because Runaway was a '80s movie, right? It was like late '80s, I think.
Yes.
No, it came Michael out the Crichton same directed year it. As some other movie that was really good. I'm not gonna bother to look it up right now. Tell us in the comments below. I talked about there was another movie called I Come in Peace. Do you remember that movie? He's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I was like, I Come in Peace, the one with the fucking aliens that have the white eyes and they got long hair for whatever reason. Because you know what movie I'm talking about, right? It's like this, very gritty sexual fucking movie about this alien who's on the run because he keeps stealing pituitary glands from humans and other species because it's like a drug to them. And I was like, he converts a CD changer in a car into something that shoots CDs to kill people. And he was like, that's funny because that sounds like that Aerosmith video game. I'm like, fuck yeah, it does. That video game was awesome. And then my partner was like, there was an Aerosmith video game? I'm like, oh, yes, there was. There was
embarrassing me at my this cat's birthday party.
There was. You could play it at the arcade right next to Aliens versus Predator and Robocop versus Aliens. Metal Slug was still huge. Tekken was still people that were basically just cube blocks.
Yeah.
When people are like, Minecraft is so fun, I'm like, if you like that shit, you should play the early Virtua Fighters.
Exactly.
Same shit.
Yeah.
And that is Suburban Screams by John Carpenter.
Wow.
No, all right. All right. So
I just like that you disrupted this cat's birthday party with your very deep trivial knowledge stuff.
So what's the lesson to be learned here? Don't let John drink 3 shots of alcohol before he's about to podcast.
Don't invite John to cat's birthday party.
Even though I bought that cat some really nifty gifts. I don't know.
Okay, well, Annie's waiting for her present. So let's talk about the bunny man now.
what if I just saw her in the background sitting on the chair just breathing heavily, staring right at me? I'm like, oh fuck, I'm sorry.
She's probably looking at food. That little cat. Heavy breathing.
She's like, I let you pet me that one time, don't you remember? It's never gonna happen again.
No, that was me. I pet your hand that one time. Yeah, man, see, this is what people complain about when we go too deep into our own references.
Hey, well, so here's what happened. I was petting the cat Annie, and this is before there was the bunny Penny in the household, and Rolando was not paying attention and randomly just started with his full palm of fingers scratching the top of my hand. As I was petting Annie, I was like, what is he doing? Because I thought he was just fucking around. I was like, there's no way he thinks this feels like fur, but he did it for like more than 10 seconds. Yeah, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to let this keep going. This is really funny. What the fuck is going on? And then finally he looks and he's like, oh, shit. I feel like even Annie was like, let's see how far this goes.
These
like,
guys are weird.
Yeah, dude, let's go. That was a good time. That was...
We embarrassed her on her birthday.
That was 1986.
Okay, we try to talk about the Bunny Man very briefly. It's okay. It's fine. The creature design is fine. I kind of felt like... This is the... So the Bunny Man, this is the shortest episode.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just sort of like...
It starts in 18... something.
Yeah.
It starts in 18 something, which nobody's talking about, but this is what I'm gathering from the John Carpenter Suburban Scream. He's going to add some shit because he does not give a fuck.
Yeah. We got to pad out these episodes. They're too short.
It is a cold open of 18 or 17 something.
Mm.
And it's like these people like, oh, look. Oh, no. Blah, blah, blah. And you see that there's a bunch of, like, I don't know, kids or adults. It looked like kids to me that had their feet chopped off. And I was like, let's see whose feet are looking now, fucker. So I thought that was, like, John Carpenter at this point is having fun with this TV series because he's like, this is stupid. So I'm going to have the Bunny Man cut off these kids' feet to pretend to be Lucky Rabbit's feet. Genius.
I had two things. I'll just finish my thought. Like, so this feels like a sort of, the whole episode feels like almost a sizzle reel to make a movie about the Bunny Man. It's not really about the folklore because he never really killed anybody. It's all like predicated on this legend, and maybe he was at a party in the 70s where he got his foot stuck in a trap. So it's like he never really actually kills anybody. So, and you know, it just kind of just, I don't know, it nothing happened in this episode. It's just about the Bunny Man myth.
An awful lot of dead bunnies, Rolando, in
that was
one scene.
My other complaint, does that make sense? Why would the Bunny Man kill bunnies?
To siphon their essence, obviously.
Because, like, in this episode they made they made an argument that maybe he's some sort of force for nature and try to fight back the sprawling suburbia. They try to make that argument too in this episode, which, like, I'd catch my eyes from rolling out of my head.
Yeah,
when I read that,
I think,
but he kills bunnies.
So I saw this with my partner and she said something to the effect of, this is the Unabomber. I'm like, no. Oh shit, that's pretty much the same premise, isn't it? It's just, he was, because the Unabomber was getting frustrated with the amount of planes that were going over his cabin, so he went over and, like, targeted these fucking airports or whatever.
I thought he took out the FBI building in Oklahoma. Is that the Unabomber?
That was the Oklahoma City Bomber. I also made the same mistake because I was like, Timothy McVeigh? I was like, no, it's some other guy. And then I looked at him like, oh, you're right. It's some other dude.
So, was he the shoe bomber? No. I'm confusing my bombers.
Yeah. The Unabomber, the Oklahoma City Bomber, the Shoe Bomber.
Wait, so uni is what? Like more than one? More than one bomb?
No, Unabomber? It was just the one guy.
No, but like why is he called the Unabomber? What's uni?
It's universal. No, I don't know. one? I don't know.
Uni means, I'm assuming means multiple, right?
Uni? I would assume it's just one. Here, hold on. I'm gonna consult our editors real quick. Hey Siri, what does Unabomber mean?
Unabomber.
Unabomber.
What does that mean, though?
Ted Kaczynski. Oh, Siri's still listening to me.
What's a Una?
Some fucked up fucking shit.
Sorry.
Oh, which also, the Unabomber just passed away last year.
Aw.
And he killed himself, too. He was born in 1942 and then decided to kill himself in 2023. Can you imagine that?
See, the term Unabomber was derived by the FAA original code name for the case, which stood for University of Airline Bomber. So they took uni for universal, A from airline, and bomb from B-O-M for bomber.
It's also the Fizzle Bomber.
Very confusing name.
Remember the Fizzle Bomber?
The what?
The Fizzle Bomber.
The Fizzle, no. Is it a real thing?
No.
I'm captivated.
Started in 1975 and killed about 11,000 people in New York City.
I've never heard of this guy.
They kept... This bomber kept getting eluded by authorities and stuff. But luckily, Ethan Hawke was able to go back in time and attempt to stop the Fizzle Bomber. But every time he tried, he was always one step behind. The movie's called Predestination.
Predestination. I was going to say, is this movie that I haven't seen that Selena Gomez in it?
Selena Gomez?
I don't know what's going on anymore.
No, I don't think so. I don't think she's in it. The movie came out in 2014. I don't know how relevant she was yet.
No, she was still... I think she was Bieber's girlfriend at the time.
Yeah. No, but it's Sarah Snook.
Oh, excuse me.
Noah Taylor.
Okay. Well, didn't Selena Gomez make a movie with Ethan Hawke? Premonition? Is that what it's called?
I want to say probably Premonition. So let me see. I'm going to go through Ethan Hawke's discography. There's a movie called Before Sunrise. Is that it? 10 years later, made a movie called Before Sunset. Is that it? And then roughly 10 years after
nine
that.
9 years later. It would be nine years later.
Then nine Get years later right. after that, Before Midnight.
I think it was between Before Sunset and Before Midnight. He made a movie with Selena Gomez.
Was it called Blaze?
No, but everybody needs to watch that movie. If you guys haven't seen Ethan Hawke's directing efforts, they're just as... I've been trying to convince... This is what the Skeleton Boys fans need to know. I've been trying to convince John to do a podcast about Ethan Hawke's filmography for years now. Literal years.
Probably could just do it. We could just be the one Ethan Hawke podcast and just review every single thing, even if it sucks.
I got the
Which
perfect
is really
title.
Hilarious to say that he's done anything that sucks. Because I watched... what the fuck's the name of that? And I love Oscar Isaac, but that show sucked. Marvel character, Moon something. Moon Knight, right?
Moon Knight. Moon Knight.
And I was like, this is not very good. And it in my head, it was like, not Oscar Isaac's fault. But goddamn, Ethan Hawke stole the fucking scenery every time, and he's not even like a special bad guy. It's like he's a normal dude.
Yeah, it's called the movie is called Getaway.
Getaway.
2013. He also made a movie with Oh no, what's her name?
The chick from Harry Williams? Potter. No, I was kidding. Which one was that?
Regression.
Regression.
It's Emma Watson.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then there's also the Bunny Man in.
No, yeah, I forgot what we were doing.
Richmond, Virginia?
Fairfax, Virginia.
Fairfax. And I think it's even spelled like at one point Fairfax, not even Fairfax.
You get the whole history of Fairfax.
I was like,
one last note. What do you think about this podcast name for our Ethan Hawke show? Hawkasots. Does that do anything for you?
You know?
We are in a Hawkasots.
Hawkasots.
That.
I like it. We might have to do it.
Okay, cool.
And I'll cover a Blaze song for the intro.
Nice. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, so the Bunny Man in Fairfax, Virginia. Mm-hmm. Not to be confused with Fairfax, Los Angeles.
Portland, Oregon. Portland,
Oregon. Fairfax, Virginia. Where people are able to elude the sky swinging an axe. Mostly because he probably can't fucking see. Because he's got this huge ass burlap sack on his fucking head. What is that? It's a buggo. Sorry, I got distracted.
One of your fruit flies, yeah.
Maybe. No, I don't know. It looks more like mosquito, which kind of sucks. Well. This like, like fucking scary ass thing that he said, like, we hadn't seen him before. We saw him 100 years ago for the first time. And I did the math, and that had to have been 1923, because I do quick maths. he's like, yeah, he never catches anybody, and he's always frustrated because they're like, ah, why do these fucking losers got to run? And he hops towards them, right? You know, so he's got to use both legs. He's got to squat all the way down, jump up, squat all the way down, jump up. It's like, oh man, I just wasted 30 minutes getting 10 feet away.
While leaving a deadly trail of Easter eggs behind
him. Yeah, well, I was gonna say, like, it's like surprising they can't find him, because apparently they also found human remains that were clearly balled up by hands to look like pellets all over the floor.
I think we should just quickly say this is really stupid and not very good.
That was dumb.
We should probably. We didn't like you guys. We don't like this show, but we're committed.
We're doing it. And 30 minutes in, that's right, you get your review of John Carpenter's Suburban Screams.
I mean, we're just as focused as Carpenter was when he made this show. So
I would never claim to be the master.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to criticize him because he's done such good work, but he's also, you know, he's a lot of trash too. So
yeah, he also was with Adrian Barbeau, so
yeah, 1,000 points,
whatever. Yeah, yeah. There you go. Can't lose if you already won, right?
Yes, if you already won life. So that wasn't very good, Bunny Man. We both didn't like it. Kind of a waste of time. But we will continue, because that's what we do for you guys.
Yes. So we're going to go to our main feature.
Main review of Cure. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
I want to say I was disappointed. I thought the minimalist composing was good, but it was real far.
Did I say first thoughts or plot in 5 words? You gotta give us the plot in 5 words.
Okay, I gotta do that, right? But yeah. I'm still gonna give you this thought real quick, because
I
wasn't a huge fan of the score. It was effective when it did happen. It rarely happened. It was mostly silence throughout the entire film, which I'm sure was intentional, but it was just some things really keep movies going, you know? Mm-hmm. But I did like that there was a fucking theme song to the movie. I thought that was pretty cool. And I mean, we can't play it without getting copyright infringement, but I can sing you a bit of it. It kind of went, Show me how you do that trick. The one that makes me scream, she said. And it's about how people don't remember what happens. So they want you to show them. 4 Kurosawa, no, not that one's, Cure. Coming in at number 3. Failing relationships saved by therapy.
That's it. You won. That's it. All you gotta do anymore, John. That's a good one.
Coming in at number 2 for Not That Kurosawa's Cure. Hipster knows you don't know. That's all I took away from it. I was like, this guy's so cool. Is he the bad guy or is he just the guy that knows how to be bad? I don't know. Coming in at number 1 for Not That Kurosawa's Cure. Detective finally finds Perfect Days.
Is it the same actor?
It's the same actor, yeah.
Oh, I love that. I can't wait to watch that movie, by the way. Me too. I'm dying to watch it.
I was just like, this is the same guy, right? Yeah, same guy.
I've hovered on renting it, but then I'm like, it's going to come out eventually on something I have, so.
Yeah.
But I may have to rent it. Great catch. Okay. John, do you want to give your first thoughts? So was this movie Just Like Heaven or Boys Don't Cry or A Forest?
This movie was just like...
Pictures of You.
Pictures of You. Exactly. Letters to Elise. This is what this movie's like. No, for some reason it's escaping me, but the entire time I was like, this is a lot like this other movie that came out, but a little bit later. I feel like Ari Aster has taken a lot from this film.
Yeah.
Especially with like movies like Hereditary. There's something to be said. We have reviewed several movies that kind of have the same concept almost, where there is a hive mind mentality kind of being presented to people, right? Kind of.
Yeah, okay.
Because that's what I was kind of gathering from it.
Yeah.
I have a couple of theories.
Yes.
But yeah. What did you think?
I thought it was excellent. This is a movie that it was... I think I first heard about it on Shudder. Did something about the 100 scariest moments in movies or something like that. It's definitely on that list. And... it's kind of put it on my radar, and after that, I've been kind of wanting to watch it, but its availability is almost exclusively on the Criterion Channel. Like, it's kind of hard to find to stream. You might mainly have to rent it.
Yeah.
So its availability is not the easiest, but I was super interested in this movie because it's supposed to be a subtle psychological thriller with like crazy gonzo ending, which I think it completely delivered on. And so yes, I really liked this movie. I thought it was excellent. I think it's pretty... the only thing I would disagree with is I think it's pretty straightforward up to the ending. The last like 20 minutes is crazy. Like, it's supposed to be that way, but I thought it was pretty not as subtle of a thing. I think all the pieces are there to... so you can kind of guess or surmise like what is going on up until the end. But even the end, I think, makes it pretty clear what happened, even though it tries to be ambiguous. But I loved it.
There was a conversation with the directors that kind of said, like, we just kind of left it open-ended on purpose because we didn't want this to be about subtle plot points. It was more about the malaise and malicious nature of humans and evil.
Intentionally, I think the director makes the movie very quiet.
Yeah.
And to the point where, like, we only hear like ambient sounds of things going off. Like, we keep returning to like a washer that's on, or you know, what was the other thing? Like a jet fuel plane, something? Like, it's very subtle in its sound design on purpose.
Which I have theories about those things too, yeah.
And so when we have a lighter presented or like spilling water, it has, I think, this more like bigger effect on you as a viewer. And like, it's perfectly really well done. sound design throughout the most of the movie, and great acting, wonderful performances by all the actors. I'll probably get all their names wrong. That everybody was really good in this, and I thought the movie was kind of haunting in every point. You know what I mean? Like every time we had the sort of like antagonist of the piece speak to somebody, and then at first it's a little weird in the beginning. You're like, where is this guy's just talking in circles? He's like, I don't understand what's going on. But then once it kind of does it throughout the movie, it's kind of like, oh no, like who's gonna fall for this? Or seeing the other characters kind of try to speak to him and talk to him in circles, and they get frustrated too. It kind of echoes what the viewer feels as well. So
that's what, you know, so it kind of reminded me a little bit of like what they try to do in The Empty Man. There's something about it that reminds me of Possession. I don't know. I can't pinpoint the movie I'm thinking of where it's like just influence, right? Like it's projected influence. There aren't too many televisions presented in this, if any at all, right? But I would also think like maybe you could be influenced to do things by a television. And, you know, long live the new flesh. Death to Videodrome. So what do you think of that? Long live the new flesh. Death to Videodrome.
Not everything's Videodrome. No, I'm just kidding. Everything is Videodrome. I don't know. I think I think also like it's frightening that like it's terrifying that like if somehow you're coerced into doing things that you had no intentions of doing and have no memory of, but then you talk about it very casually like they did about the murders and stuff. The way they did the murders were pretty, they were few and far between, so it's not like necessarily graphic unless they show like specific. It's not like they don't show them actually doing the murders. It's kind of like after the fact. We see the aftermath of a lot of them.
Yeah, most of like the really gruesome stuff is just like quick snippets and then cuts away immediately.
Yeah. So that also kind of built like a bunch of tension and suspense and stuff. And the fact that this guy is kind of like, you want to know what this guy is doing, his trick or whatever, you know, like how is he able to coerce these people to, or hypnotize, right? Is kind of like the thing that they're.
Yeah, we should have gotten Lois Lane in the room with this guy. But I'm talking about, what's her name that played Lois Lane in the Christopher Reeve movies?
Oh, not Amy Smart, or what is it?
No. What's her name? Oh, not Amy Adams. Oh, fuck, what's her name? Shit.
Margot.
Short-lived career because of unfortunate
drugs
things.
But she's excellent in Black Christmas.
Yes. Anyway, just because there's that scene, right, where she's flying with Superman for the first time. Do you remember that?
I remember
Margot
that.
Margot Kidder.
Yeah. Margot Kidder.
She's flying with Superman for the first time. She's wearing a nightgown. And she's like, she's asking all these questions, but just in her head, staring at him. And then at one point, she's like, can you read my mind? It's like the corniest thing I've ever seen.
I can see that minds. You're not wearing underwear.
And she's like, I can see you're wearing underwear outside of your pants. So.
You smell like whiskey. Just kidding.
No, I thought this movie was excellent. I just, I think I was not in a space to watch this movie right now. It's one of those movies where I'm like, I know this is a really good movie. I'm just not. I'm coming off like a really long, terrible job. And I just like, my mental capacity has like diminished. I need to sleep for like 48 hours straight without people worrying about me.
Yeah, same. I have a day off and I finally have a day off. Next, my day off. So thankfully, I can just sleep in.
There you go. Yep.
Need some time off. I'm exhausted. But yes, yep. I can relate.
But it was really excellent. Pretty terrifying concept. I don't think it's spoilers to say that our main antagonist, which you know he's the bad guy pretty much from the get-go, as soon as he gets picked up by that guy on the beach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At the beginning, and then it's like, oh, this is not good. And the guy is just asking a bunch of repeated questions, but they're very specific questions.
Mm-hmm.
And how the other guy's trying to ask our antagonist, like, well, what about this about you and you? And he's like, I don't remember. He's like, this looks like it might be your name. He's like, I guess it is. Who cares? It doesn't matter. So, yeah, that's our bad guy. He does not remember who he is, and that is not important to him at all.
Yeah, and great performance also. Definitely, I would say, like, the last 20 minutes was pretty mind-bending. Though I think it's clear what happens. Do you want to get into spoilers?
Yes, do it.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers! So I think our bad guy took a liking to our main protagonist because he knew he had the capacity to become another person like him.
Yeah, he didn't fall for his questions because most people, if you ask, like, most people are like, I guess that's something, I don't know if he's saying something here about how people like are like, if you kind of ask the same questions, people will give personal information to kind of disarm the other person, I think is the idea, right? To kind of hopefully get information from him because of depending on the situation.
And also, I think he was able to pick up on who was already like mentally fractured from whatever situation was going on in their lives.
Okay, yeah. So it was kind of like part of his... Would you consider this guy like... He's like almost like... Even though he's using sort of like... he learned how to do this hypnosis treatment, you know... From this guy, this original person who brought it from Japan or something like that. He's like the first guy to do it.
The guy from the Brood, yeah.
Yeah, Oliver Reed. Go watch it. Oh, hear that episode. Do you think it's almost like it could be explained that way, but also could be explained that it's like almost a curse, right? It's like almost like a living curse that he kind of gives to this detective who's really good about... Who he himself is we haven't mentioned that he himself is going through like personal crisis as well because I believe his wife is
going through dementia.
Early dementia, and
it's getting worse and worse. Yeah.
Threw himself into like his work life because of it, and so he's like hiding this like pain before he goes out to work, so he's not easily susceptible to this guy's technique or whatever.
Right. He also kind of like openly admits that to him at one point without being prompted. He's just like, because what the guard that was supposed to be guarding the guy when they catch him, for whatever fuck, well, because he's able to manipulate him into telling him, you know, personal stuff about our main hero, which also kind of doesn't make sense because I feel like our protagonist wouldn't have told anybody about what's going on with him, but you know. Whatever. I think it's just to move the plot along. Where he's right. Just like, fine, you caught me. It's just, you know, she is a burden for being with this mental illness or whatever. And it sucks because I gotta, like, not show emotion when I'm at work. And I gotta not show emotion when I'm at home. Because I gotta be the strong person. And this is fucking bullshit and blah, blah, blah. Like, I gotta be three different people. But I know I can do that. And then I think that's when our antagonist... takes the shine to him.
Yeah, and so to kind of explain what I think happened at the end is, and it gets trickier, but I think what happens at the end is that it's almost like he's able to, Takabi is able to basically pass on this technique to our main protagonist. And what I gathered from the end, after he goes, so they find out, so the detective, I should probably say this first before I get into the deeper theory part, is that they actually find out who he is, where he lived, how he learned these techniques. He actually went to his home or whatever space that he was renting, and then he's able to see like the black goo and like all the books and pets and stuff like that. So I think from that point,
like occultist sort of Satanist sort of beliefs.
Yes. Yeah.
And using hypnotherapy to progress the word or whatever.
Yes, exactly. And I think it's safe to assume that he kind of picks, because he ends up killing the bad guy, the antagonist in this piece. And once he kills him, he sort of takes on the same techniques.
So I don't think it's because he killed the guy. I think it's because he played the recording that influenced him initially, or like was able to help him. Our main antagonist, he plays the same recording off that thing. So that's what I gathered from that. I think that's like he's finally listened to that thing. And I think it's helping him hone something he already had.
Yeah.
I think, because at the beginning, you know how like there's certain things where I think a lot of the stipulation is our antagonist was able to escape prison, which there was some weird set design there. I don't know why there was these wonky ass PVC pipes just hanging off to the side. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But they were like, he was able to escape, and there was like a bunch of rattling, you know, like things were rattling.
Right.
And it's like, oh, that's like another like technique he uses. But you see that at the very beginning too, and you assume it's like a mini earthquake or something. And I think initially I thought like maybe this antagonist has been spying on our detective the entire time and did this thing to his wife intentionally. But I have a feeling this detective has forever, since the beginning, just wanted to be left alone and was accidentally doing that to his wife. And I think I think he's the one that accidentally influenced the nurse to kill his wife too. Because he had already seen that image in his head. It was like, oh no, my wife, she's dead. So he had that in his head, and I think he accidentally influenced one of the nurses to do that. I think he always had this ability. And I think that's why antagonist was excited to be with him, because he was like, you're like me.
Or he had the potential to be like him, because he was susceptible to it, and so we can gather the final frame of the shot is like almost a mirror shot from earlier in the movie where he's eating at this diner. But the difference is that he, in the first shot, he's sort of didn't even eat that much food, you know, kind of like out of it, not really like sleepwalking through the whole thing, right? Just not happy, eating alone. And then this shot, he seems more engaged, wearing all black. I don't know if that mattered or not, but like he seems to be like, and he asked for coffee from the waitress, and I think she brings him the coffee, but then we cut to her grabbing a knife, and then it immediately cuts to black with the assumption that somehow he influenced the waitress, so the killings will continue.
Which my guess is it's the cigarette, because that something weird seems to happen every time he lights a cigarette too.
Yeah, I did. So that was one of the cool, I think one of the cool early shots is when he first starts, and when he first meets the guy at the beach, he goes back to his home and he does the lighter. I loved how the room goes dark and on the him individually, and then he turns on the lighter, and then the cigarette is like smoking itself. Really cool reverse trick shot or whatever they did. And that is kind of echoed through as part of his technique is that, like, either with the fire or with the water, which I thought was, like, that blew my mind when he did that with when he didn't have access to smoking or any kind of, like, cigarette. And then he's like, oh, but then he, like, did it with the water anyway. So it was kind of, it was terrifying that he had more than one way to do this technique, and there's really no stopping him either.
No. As long as he can, like, do an X at some point. I don't know how that worked, but
that was right, important. Yeah.
So, yeah. I did like at one point, you know, they tease the idea that you have suspicions that our protagonist has the same ability. I mean, it's kind of like Scanners, right? I mean, everything is like a David Cronenberg film, I think, actually. So
now that we've looked back at horror movies, yeah.
The influence of the Cronen Bonen.
His hand reaches far and wide in all cinema, we've found out.
But when he's trying to get questions from the antagonist, and he's like, well, okay, I need you to tell me things or whatever, and he lights the lighter, but he puts it right behind him and just stares at him. And mm-hmm. if it wasn't for it raining and then the rain dropped on top of the lighter, I think you're about to see that he could do it too.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Kind of that shot echoes what he will probably end up becoming at the last or end scene.
How he kind of already is that person. You just...
Mm.
Like, I can't even tell if our antagonist did that to the doctor or if he did that to the doctor that was helping him.
His friend...
When he snapped him out of the trance because... Remember? Towards the end?
Yeah, yeah.
Because the doctor shows him the video?
Yeah, I think he had... What I gathered from that was, like, he was doing his own research, but then he kind of just went crazy.
Yeah, he could. I think he committed suicide on his own accord, not because he was influenced to do it. Yeah.
Not. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, because he was kind of getting it from the actual sources of all the where how it all began, and he just went crazy and killed himself. So yeah, no, it was excellent. So we were both kind of in agreement that like that he's kind of like the new guy that's passing on this. Like he has that ability now.
Yes. Even though there is that part where one of the other waitresses whispers something to the other waitress and then she goes and grabs a knife. So it's like one of two things. Like he is the new main influencer thing or mm-hmm. this occultist idea has spread.
Mm.
Because, again, like the way his wife gets killed, I have a couple of assumptions. Maybe he accidentally influenced a nurse to kill his wife or there is a bigger occult thing happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Death to Videodrome, long love into the flesh. So
that is okay, cool.
That is true.
Yes. Cool. Do you have any other thoughts before you rate it?
No.
Curious about your rating. You said you were very sleepy, but it seemed like you still.
Yeah, I was a very tired guy trying to watch this movie.
Did you end up watching it with or around your partner?
No, not this one.
Not this one. Copy. All right. Alrighty. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm gonna give Kurosawa, no, not that one's, Cure, 8 sexy spooky bones.
Cool, yeah. I'm gonna go 9 sexy spooky bones. I think it totally lived up to hype. I think the only thing I will kind of pull away from it is I think the pacing, it's intentionally supposed to be paced a little slow, but I found the pacing to be a little too slow, if that makes sense.
A little bit, yeah. It.
So apparently
older film at this point.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention, that the Blu-ray version of this makes the movie look modern. So
interesting.
So I don't know if we should disclose how we were able to acquire a copy of this.
Oh, no, that we had to go to a local video store, mom and pop shop, and rent it. Oh, I mean, people can know that if they want.
Yes.
That's what happened. So
that's what happened. That's, we acquired a copy of this. Alrighty. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky. Long live the new flesh.